The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
My goodness, that was awesome.
Well, thank you, Vicky. You know, I've been known to blow a harmonica or two in my life, you know, so why not bring it on to the radio? Have a little fun.
Absolutely,
you know?
And to not back down either. That's awesome. We have Andy Meehan in the studio with me today, Vicky Lightcap, and Stan, it's quiet. There's no Stan. Oh, my God. Well, I'm sure Andy's going to make up for it. So how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Vicky, and great to be here. And thanks for Stan for calling on me to fill in for his big shoes. And I'm happy to be here. We've got lots of fun things to talk about today, lots of things in the news. And I know we're going to have a good time.
Absolutely. What would you like to start us off with?
Well, first I'd like to congratulate Stan on his successful challenge for the Montgomery County County Executive role a couple weeks ago. Obviously, I say successful in the regard that we need people like Stan standing up and challenging people that we feel need to bring about change. And so regular people need to stand up and do that. And anytime you stick your neck out and run, you know, it puts you at risk of things. And so I just congratulate Stan on that. I also like to congratulate the new Chester County Republican leader, Rafi Turgeon, for his victory. We can see a lot of things happening in southeastern Pennsylvania with regard to the political parties. We'll get into that today. But I thought what we would do really, Vicky, is maybe start at 30,000 feet and look at what's going on in our country and where we are today and kind of drill that down to street level where it really the rubber hits the road, which is the local politics and what's going on in our area. So that's what I thought we would focus on today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So I started this Right for Bucks organization back in about 2 years ago after I ran for Congress unsuccessfully. And so Right for Bucks is an advocacy group out of Bucks County, and we educate voters, motivate them, and organize them for constitutional conservative principles. And so that's kind of been driving my activities with politics over the last year.
What are some of their conservative principles that you're speaking of to let people know, like, what the difference is between what you're bringing to the table with this organization and what the Republican Party, because I'm sure that, or the Libertarian Party, what the differences would be?
Yeah. When I ran for Congress, I saw what was going on with the establishment Republicans, and they were not standing up for our values and the things that we hold near and dear, which is smaller government, limited government, preserving our constitutional rights and our civil liberties. The things that you see Doug Mastriano and other America First type of candidates standing up for, conservative populist agenda. The Republicans seemed more concerned about preserving their positions and putting in people that were kind of Casper milquetoast that don't upset anybody or really do anything other than just give in to the Democrats all the time and play defense all the time. And so Right for Bucks saw what was going on with regards to what was happening in our local party in Bucks County. And we decided that we want in order to bring about change, you really need to change the players on the field. Because if you don't change the players on the field, or in our case in Bucks County, the bylaws of our committee and how they're run, then nothing is ever going to change. So about a year ago, we embarked on this precinct project, which came about from watching Steve Bannon's War Room with Dan Schultz. And we started recruiting and training people to run for Republican committee seats that were open or occupied by people that weren't, you know, up for change and reform of the bylaws. And so that was back about a year ago that we started that.
What changes are you looking at the bylaws? Because I had pulled them after you and I had a nice discussion, and I started reading over them. So what kind of things, like, are you looking at that you want to bring into the world that others are just overlooking and not actually bringing in?
Well, structurally and procedurally, if you look at the way that the Bucks County Republican Committee is run, the bylaws were put into place in 1972, 3 days before Harry Fawkes was installed as the county leader. Harry's fingerprints are all over these bylaws. They are written so that, number one, they can't be changed. Pat Poprick, the leader of the executive committee, herself said a few weeks ago at a training session, well, the bylaws are written in a fashion that they can't be changed. Well, that's exactly right. And Harry Fawkes knew what he was doing when he wrote them, because the bylaws concentrate all the power of the committee into the executive seat. And they do this through various ways. If you read through the bylaws, which you can download from the Right for Bucks website, rightforbucks.com,
exactly,
and the resources
it.
Tab, you'll see them. Some of the things that are very notable is that, number one, you need a two-thirds majority vote of all of the committee seats, including the vacant seats, in order to change the bylaws. They have never even had two-thirds of the committee seats filled at one time. They keep them empty intentionally so that nobody, you know, they can just, oh, we can't change bylaws, we don't have a quorum. And so that in and of itself, that they can't be changed, is a big red flag. And then you dig down inside of the bylaws to see what they call for and what they don't call for. The bylaws of the Bucks County Republican Committee are very, very tight and very explicit when it comes to the powers of the executive, which is basically to appoint people. So the way it works up there is for about every 4,000 Republican voters, they get the committee people that are in that area, if they have a quorum, they get to elect their county executives. And these are the people that are responsible for going and voting for endorsements at the county level. Well, for every area that you can elect your own executive, the county executive then gets to appoint a second executive of his, or in this case, her choice, which basically negates the votes of any of the people that would be on the executive committee that would not follow her lead and want to participate in the candidate selection racket that they have going on. So the way that this game works is they circle all of their activity and their efforts around getting an endorsement to a candidate. And they select that candidate. She selects these candidates, Pat Poprick I'm talking about. And then it's the executives vote on it. And, of course, it's always, you know, the way that she likes it. And then so they whip up an endorsement. And now they have something to go and sell to the candidates. Okay, oh, we can get your name on our sample ballot. And we've convinced all of the committee people that they have to hand out this sample ballot in every primary election. So you're just about guaranteed to win if you bow the knee before us and seek our endorsement. And we can, dub you the endorsed candidate, and thus, you know, give you the inferred credibility of the Republican committee upon these candidates. The problem that we have is that we've seen all these endorsed candidates don't have any credibility anymore, because they've sold their soul in exchange for being endorsed and elected. And they stand up and they vote for things like Act 77. And they all get in line when it was time to not support President Trump and not endorse President Trump. And they do what they're told instead of being advocates for the voters in their districts and their people. So this racket that they have going on is enabled by these bylaws that they've created. It's basically it's a corrupt business system more than it is a party properly functioning party, where the rule or the votes of the people actually really matter. So now, we want to see a reform of the bylaws. We want the bylaws to be struck down and have to be rewritten.
I was just going to ask that question. Like, what are you doing to push back on this? What are you doing to be able to make this change into it? Continue.
Yeah, the first thing that you have to do is educate people as to what's in these bylaws and what is the effect and the impact. They don't talk about these bylaws. They don't. Most of the voters of Bucks County don't even know anything about what goes on inside the Republican committee. They just go and walk up to the polls, and one of their committee persons standing there, here's your sample ballot, vote Republican, and blah, blah. But people are waking up to this after the election for Dean Malik, back in 2018, and then for myself in 2020, and then most recently for Alex Zentin in the congressional races I'm talking about in PA01, of this situation. And now with this new wave of committee people that we have, so in the last year when Right for Bucks embarked on this precinct project, we started training sessions around the county, and other groups around the county joined us, and we got over 100 people elected to the Bucks County Republican Committee on May 17th.
Okay.
And Pat Poprick saw this was going on. And with all these committee seats that she had left open and vacant for decades and decades, she now went around the county between May 17th and June 25th. That was the reorganization meeting for the county Republican Party, appointing committee people that had not been elected on May 17th. And those people then and voted in the election on June 25th. So the people that were just appointed by her now were allowed to go and vote in that election. If you look at the Democrat, I looked at the Democrat committee bylaws in Bucks County yesterday, and they specifically prohibit people that have been appointed in the interim period between the primary election and the reorganization meeting from participating and voting on it, because it's an ethical and moral failure to do so.
So yeah. Does the Republican, their bylaws, do they say that they can allow that to happen? They don't say anything?
Yeah, that's right. This is the way they're designed. They're very tight and explicit on what powers the executive has. But when it comes down time to procedure and ethics and things that involve this particular issue of people that are appointed being able to vote in an election days later, it says nothing about it. So they steamroll over it during the meeting and say, oh, that's not in the bylaws. You know, you can't say anything about it. But we are going to say something about it, and there will be challenges to it. It's in direct conflict with the state committee bylaws, the Republican committee bylaws, and they are supposed to be not conflicting with the PA GOP state committee bylaws, and they are in many different areas of this. The second big area that they differ is that in the state committee bylaws of Pennsylvania, any one member going to a state committee meeting cannot carry more than two proxy votes.
Okay.
On the June 25th election in Bucks County, there were 200 proxy votes that came in. These are like unverified mail-in ballots is what I call them. These are, somebody's carrying them in like a mule. One person from Ben Salem, the leader of the Ben Salem area there, he walked in with 40 to 45 proxy votes, and these were all allowed to count. So we don't know if these were legitimate. We know of at least one of them that was a fake proxy ballot, that the person didn't sign on to it. So it is a completely ethical and moral failure of the leadership at the county to let people that just got appointed vote, much less having them hand over or have be voted on a proxy basis, not having to go to the meeting to cast a vote one way or the other.
We have on the line Christopher and Chris. Do you want to ask any questions of Andy, or do you just want to add into the conversation since you were on as a host last week?
Nice to hear your voice, Vicki. Sorry I couldn't be there. And Andy, thanks for all your great work. It's really encouraging to hear what you guys are doing. And I think that the main point that people need to hear is we need to get boots on the ground. We need people that are able and willing to step up. And we need it here in Montgomery County. I'm glad to see what you guys are able to get done there in Bucks County. And it's a good lesson for us here, too. I wanted to add something to the conversation, kind of unrelated, but hopefully is important. The mess that we were delivered with PA Act 77 and everywhere I go and I talk to people, it just keeps coming up. And, we've heard this, it was obviously new voting rules adopted during COVID, seemingly under the guise of a COVID response. But we realize now that that's really not the case, that this had been teed up a while before that COVID just provided the excuse to adopt a law that is purposely confusing, impossible to understand, and as a result, impossible to enforce. I read an article the other day that Governor Wolf, by his own admission, had his wife deliver his ballot illegally. You know, how much more corruption? So we have a crappy law, is the point, adopted by a bipartisan legislature, signed into law by Governor Wolf. And I know there's been all these other complicated details, but that's the simple matter. And now we have this crappy law. Most of us would like to see this crappy law gone. Now, the excuse that we're given by the Republicans is that, well, if we try to repeal it, the Democrats are going to veto it. Well, we have a Republican legislature. I say we tee up a new law that is the same as the old law. But that's not happening, and we're not even going in that direction. I read the paper this morning, and I see big budget wins for cash-flush Pennsylvania. Isn't that amazing? All the taxpayers that are struggling to buy gas, struggling to pay for heating oil, the state is sitting on a huge surplus. You think maybe they'd have a discussion about cutting taxes? Absolutely not. Instead, what do they do with this failed PA Act 77? This says everything that's wrong about our politics and why we need a new way of doing this. You got a failed law that you can't even administer properly, which is the problem. The people that are counting the votes are saying this is impossible for us to do properly. So what does the legislature and the governor do in their infinite wisdom? Throw money at it, $45 million. And even within the article itself, even that is a complete sham. They've set up this grant program where the counties can go and compete for the money, and they've got to apply for it. And then what do they even do with the money? How does it exactly help the elections? Nobody even knows. But it's such a typical story where you've got a poorly conceived law, which I guess is great for the parties because they seem to want to continue to go along with it. But it's certainly not good for the voters. We know it's a failed law. Rather than do something about that, what are we going to do? Throw $45 million about it. Now, why is that significant? Well, here in Montgomery County, I found out that within the past couple of weeks, the county had to close a homeless shelter down in Norristown. There's going to be serious ramifications as a result of that. All these people move into our parks and tent cities around our area because we don't have these services to provide for them. But yet, we've got $45 million to chase after a failed law. It's more politics as usual. And I'll leave you with this thought. If we, the people and the grassroots candidates, don't step up and do something, the establishment Republicans and Democrats are going to take care of it. And what they delivered to us was Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a product of establishment Republicans from the Lincoln Project and certainly the Democrats that went along with it. And now we're suffering the consequences. What are they down to, 13% approval rating, this guy? This is what the establishment. We got to get involved, and I appreciate your message in that regard, and I hope people listen to it. It's vitally important at this point.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Well, it is, and we recognize this, and we saw that the Act 77 was the brainchild of the Republican establishment and not the Democrats. A lot of the Democrats didn't vote for it. Well, they didn't think it went far enough, but this was the brainchild of Republicans. So at the establishment party likes it because they're not opposed to the mail-in vote because they know that they have money to buy the lists of people that request mail-in ballots, and then they can market to them directly with these sample ballots, and those people don't have to walk into a polling location and run into a Right for Bucks or America First or Monco First person to hand them a pamphlet and try to dissuade them from voting for the endorsed establishment Republican candidates. They'd rather have people mail in their vote for the endorsed candidate. That's all they want. That's all they care about. It preserves their business model. But it gives us terrible policy, and it gives us leaders that are beholden to the party and not the voters. So this is why this precinct project is so important for people to get up and get involved in, because the precinct committee person is the linchpin of the party. If we fill up the party full of patriots and conservative constitutionalists inside the party, then all these rhinos that get endorsed at the county level will go by the wayside because the committee people will be able to rise up and take over this corrupt system, and we'll be able to amend the bylaws of our county committee, and we'll be able to say no to these endorsements in primaries of rhinos. and we'll be able to get our people to get out there and be supported. And this is what needs to be done, because the one thing that you do see happening out there is the Republicans, all the establishment Republicans, all they do is play defense. They're so afraid to play offense. They're out there, you know, running for election, but none of them want to talk about the elephant in the room, which is election integrity. I've talked to candidates who haven't seen the movie 2000 Mules. If you haven't seen this movie, it's like, what are you waiting for? Do you want to stay in the dark and be a mushroom and be fed, you know, nonsense and not be informed? You need to get out and see what happened. It's very obvious that this election was rigged and stolen in November of 2020 through all the shenanigans that did, from Zuckerbucks to perverting the laws to not letting people see the counts, to stuffing the ballots with mail-in ballots in the middle of the night, shutting down the counts, not letting machines be inspected. I mean, if you have an election system that is not auditable, it is guaranteed that you will have election fraud. It's only an eventuality. So, you know, this is what's happening in our party. Back in May or late April of this year, I went to a meeting of about 50 conservative groups up in Allentown, and we worked on this declaration of election integrity. Sam Faddis is leading this group, Unite PA, and we came up with a declaration that simply wants us to return us to the voting rules prior to the implementation of Act 77. Act 77
Amen.
Was completely, completely unconstitutional. The Constitution of Pennsylvania strictly lays out in what circumstances people can mail in absentee ballots, and they just ran roughshod right over it. They passed a bill that was blatantly unconstitutional, and because we have a corrupt Supreme Court in Pennsylvania that's totally stacked with these leftist sympathizers, they didn't even hear the case to get this law struck down, which is patently, I mean, they should have gotten a referendum to change the Constitution if they wanted to implement this mail-in ballot
system. Well, I think that's also why the voters have to realize how important it is when they go to vote for judges, even though they don't do that often. This is exactly the reason why you have to be particular about who it is you put in office. And I think it was proven with the way that we found the flaws in Act 77, we were taking them to court, and yet because the court wasn't looking at all the evidence, they had the ability to have enough people to just let it go by the wayside. And the longer that they hold off on this, the more that nothing will be done.
And nobody wanted to touch it, Vicki. You're exactly right. Nobody wanted to touch it because it meant that people would have to agree with President Trump that this election was not done right, that it was that it should have been.
I'll tell you how to go on the offense with that. And, you know, I live in the in liberal land down here. And so I have these conversations all the time. And as soon as I say election fraud, everybody just, you know, their eyes glaze over. They don't want to talk about it. Republicans and Democrats alike.
They
think I'm a radical wingnut. And I just did own it. Yep, you're right. I'm radical about a fair elections. But when I started, I tried something different. I said to people that I knew, you know, we're not in the Trump camp. We're not buying in. I said, let me just ask you something. Are you confident in the outcome of our elections? Well, no, absolutely not. How can that be that we're the United States of America and you're making that statement that doesn't – and it really gets people to think. You know, how is it that you can sit there and say to me, by your own admission, tell me that you have no confidence. And even if it's a Democrat, say, are you confident? Oh, yeah, 100% secure. Really? Well, why don't we go back to 2016? Does anybody remember not my president for 4 years? Does anybody remember Russiagate and the Russia collusion and bipartisan Senate committee and all these different people coming to the conclusion that there was foreign interference? But all of a sudden, 4 years later – no, it's completely secure, no issues, nothing to see here. And we know that that isn't true. The other thing is I think we need to at some point begin to take action. And I think in this particular case that one of the things that we need to do, and I'd be interested in talking to you a little bit more about this, I believe that we need to begin sending letters from our prospective groups and maybe letters with multiple signatures on it. You know, dear Mr. Representative, you know, here's our position that this law is illegal, that the actions by the state legislature are not consistent with what the people of Pennsylvania want, and your name is on this list, and we're going to begin replacing the people that are not fixing this, and go on record with it. You know, the concern
audit
about
the vote already is doing such a thing like that. And with that idea that you have, yes, it is having an impact because everybody's thinking twice about what they're doing and what positions they're going to be taking when they talk about election integrity also.
Great. Yeah, we need as much as we can, I think, is important. You know, the consequence of this failure of the election system, this purposeful failure, is conflict. And we're going to be the ones stuck in. And the media and the establishment, well, you know, the problem is everybody's so divided on this. Oh, no, we're not divided on this. We want our elections straightened out. The division is between us and you. And we're expecting this to get fixed. But the conflict, you know, you hope that that conflict will get resolved in the courts and things like this. But I don't think that people are considering heavily enough the potential consequences of messing with elections. And, you know, just to make that point, myself and many others have traveled thousands of miles to go fight wars for other countries over this very issue. And I said the other day, if this was a foreign country and the American military were coming in here, we'd be holding these people accountable. There'd be military trials for these, this legislature, the things that they've done. It's completely unacceptable. And, you know, I know that, like you said, about going on the offense, people get nervous about this kind of language. I think we need to reassert our right to have proper representation and be very firm about it. There's no wiggle room on that. And people don't want, oh, you're a bit of a radical. Damn right I'm a radical about protecting our elections. Absolutely I am. And so is every other veteran. And
yeah,
and
there's
a lot of other people as well.
Yeah, there's a movement out there with this Unite PA group that I mentioned, Sam Faddis. They're having a big event on August 27th out in Bloomsburg, PA, with regard to this. And they've set out a declaration, and I walked it into Frank Farrey's office, who's our representative in Middletown Township. And I haven't heard anything from Frank. We delivered this declaration, and the declaration is that they're going to go back to walk-in voting, getting rid of the mail-in voting, and taking us back to the place before Act 77 when all this shenanigans came about. And we need to be prepared to run people in primaries against these people. So 2024 is going to be a huge year for this. 2022 came up on us really fast, and we weren't able to find as many candidates to run against these establishment, you know, people that all voted for Act 77. But 2024 is going to be a different story. We need to start now looking for new leaders to rise up from the ashes that are going to run and that are going to go to Harrisburg and go to Washington and vote with our principles and fight for what we want, because this country is so far gone right now. The corruption of the three-letter agencies from the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ, we can see how they've completely buried the Biden crime family story. If anybody out there has the adventurous spirit enough to go wander through the Hunter Biden laptop files this week, I did. And woo, let me tell you, you know, I don't know what it is about Hunter, but, you know, when he gets around prostitutes and crack cocaine, he's got to flip out that cell phone and he's got to be taking pictures of himself all over the place. And if people think that this stuff wasn't used to blackmail or hold over the Biden family, that's one thing. But we also know from his laptop files that the big guy was in for 10% and that they had these deals with the Chinese energy companies and flying over to Ukraine on Air Force Two, lining their pockets and collecting money.
Well, we just heard that they sold $1 million of American oil to China.
So, you know, it's obvious that these people are being protected by the deep state and by the federal government by not going after them for foreign agent registration violations and everything else.
All right. I want you to hold your thoughts there for a moment. We are going to have a capitalistic moment, and I think we're actually going to hear Stan's voice.
The sound you hear is Josh Shapiro fiddling as Pennsylvania burns. Yes, Josh fiddled his time away suing the Little Sisters of the Poor for their religious belief, while District Attorney Krasner's policy has created a crime wave in Philadelphia that has seen hundreds and hundreds of people shot and murdered. And Attorney General Josh Shapiro did nothing. And now Josh Shapiro calls Doug Mastriano and Republicans radical because they want criminals to go to jail, murders to be taken off the street for life, and impeach Krasner.
Thanks for hanging on, Chris. And we have Andy Meehan in the studio with us. Okay, gentlemen, you can continue that conversation.
Yeah, so we were talking about the Biden crime family. And we know that this hard evidence that is out there of influence peddling and in Ukraine and China, we know from the evidence that we've seen that the COVID pandemic was caused and manufactured in the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China. It was then unleashed upon our country right in time for the election. And it's a Chinese, really, it's an attack on our country from the Chinese government. And it's being aided and abetted by the Biden regime. And I don't think it's just Joe Biden. I mean, let's face it. This guy is a potato. He can't even speak. He can't get a sentence out of his mouth without stumbling and fumbling and bumbling over it. It's elder abuse that his wife, Dr. Jill, has trotted him out and allows him to appear in public to fall off of his bicycle and trip over his tongue every day. But it's we're the laughing stock of the world with this guy at the top. And it's obvious that he's not running the show. There is a cabal of pro-globalist criminals that have taken over the federal government of our country. We can see it in what they're doing with this January 6th investigation. It's nothing more than a distraction from the Biden crime family activities. And they're taking people that were walking through the Capitol building waving a flag, and they're making criminals of them. This whole dog and pony show with Liz Cheney and, you know, the other fake Republicans. The sole purpose of this thing is to prevent Donald Trump from running for president in 2024 and to take the heat off of what they're doing. They always, you know, point the finger at the other side for everything that they're doing. You know, in the meantime, we've got rampant inflation. Yesterday came out that
that's why I think all of this is strictly a distraction to try and get people to not care about the fact that they're sitting at their kitchen table and they can't feed their children, or the fact that they have to give up maybe a meal so that they can at least fill their gas tank. I mean, I was to the grocery store and there was this family right next door at the gas tank, and the lady and the husband were talking, and he's putting the gas in, and she goes, "What's it at now?" And he goes, "We're at $50. She goes, "Oh my God." She goes, "Can, like," he goes, "I got to." And he continued, and finally he got to the end, and she goes, "Okay, tell me what was the amount that it was." And he goes, "Don't worry about it, babe. We'll make it through, but I got to get to work this week." And they had a very small bags of groceries in their back of their vehicle, and they had two children in their vehicle, and you could see the distraught faces that they had, and it was just filling up their gas tank and how that was affecting everything that they were going to be dealing with that week.
This is really incredible.
So I don't think these distractions are going to work anymore. And the Democratic Party should just give those distractions up.
Well, they need to fix this.
The
fact is that they need rampant inflation. They want rampant inflation because then they can monetize the $30 trillion debt that's hanging over the heads of us and our great, great, great grandchildren. This is the silent tax that President Reagan talked about. As long as they keep on inflating and printing more money, they can basically, you know, push this thing off and off and off. And, you know, as a financial advisor, you know, I'm a professional financial advisor by trade. You know, you just sit back and wonder how long can this actually go on? And
it's not going to be able to go on much longer, because there's a lot of with people owning homes, too. There's people that are selling their homes left and right because they think that that extra money is going to, they're going to put it in their pockets, and that's going to save them in the future. The only problem is, who are they selling this land to? And I had a conversation with one of, he's a top commercial realtor in the area, a developer also. And our discussion was about the fact that he said, if they're selling these things to corporations, He goes, eventually what's going to happen is corporations are going to own these and they're going to rent the land back to you. If you have no money, because with inflation going so high, the dollar isn't going to matter much, that the only asset that people are going to have is that piece of property and dirt that they live on and they own.
Yep.
And if they start giving that away for the big old dollar, instead of just sitting tight for right now and just living and trying to make do as they did back in the 50s, in the 60s, the 70s, we're not going through anything different than what has happened in the past. It's just we're more aware of what's happening to us and our families. I remember back in the 70s sitting in line and we had to look at the letter on the back of the license plate. And I remember my dad calling me from his work and going, I need you to take the car now and go to this gas station and put gas in it. And there I sat as a 16-year-old driving my dad's Chrysler, sitting there filling up that gas tank and having the gas station attendant look at the license plate as to whether or not I could stay in line or not.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And, you know, the destruction that's created, let me give you some practical numbers and some real-world implications I think everybody can understand. You know, to your story about filling up the tank, and I think everybody's sitting there looking at filling up their tank going, oh, man, this is a real bite, among other costs, right? Wait till
the groceries,
the heating oil doubles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all these things that are going along with it. While that's going on, I just want to remind people that the establishment, the people with the money, the people currently in control, they selected Joe Biden to guide us through this. They have decided that in these times that the money that should be allocated should be $45 million to help with elections in Pennsylvania. And then I just saw that Beto O'Rourke in Texas, which he has very little chance of winning. So you have wealthy establishment Democrats, hopefully. I don't know, maybe a few Republicans in there at this point. But the wealthy power players in the Democrat political establishment have, in this times, with all of the problems that we have that the left reminds us of, right, the homelessness and the drug problems and the fatherlessness, all these different problems, $27 million for Beto O'Rourke to run a campaign in Texas. We've got to do something different. It's just unreal, the resources that are being consumed and wasted and the destruction that it's causing for our country. And these things have long-term ramifications as well. You know, you remember that story as a child, Vicki. I remember similar stories. I was growing up then, too. And I think people are going to get a taste of it again, sadly.
Well, I think, you know.
They already are.
Yeah, when we look at the totality of what is going on in our world, you know, these culture wars, the never-ending expansion of the government, getting more people addicted to government, you know, programs and being dependent on the government. This is what these people want. And once it gets past a tipping point, you're not going to be able to pull it back. So this is why it's so incumbent upon people to get out there and get involved. And the most basic way that people can make a big difference is to run for their local Republican committee seat. And that is the basic building block of where we have to start, because we're not going to be able to get these people out of office and change these corrupt rules that we're operating under until we can change the players on the field. And that's the only way that's going to happen.
See, I'm going to even add to that. I don't think it's just holding committee seats. I think it's actually running for positions on your school boards, on your townships, on your borough councils. It's getting out there, because who knows best what goes on in your town than you do? Who knows best than a parent who is dealing day to day with what's going on in their education system than it is that they should be the people that are running for those positions? That's how we're going to get this back, because you're going to have people that are going to know what questions to ask, because there's a lot of people that they're supporting out there right now that don't know what they don't know. So they don't know what questions to ask, and they don't know how to make change, because they've never held these positions before in any capacity whatsoever.
Yeah, the problem that we have, Vicki, is that if we don't have our people on these Republican committees, okay, then the party establishment people, okay, the RINOs, they engineer these endorsements and they end up selecting our candidates. If you look at the process the way it goes, they're selecting the candidates, and 99% of the people that they endorse and select end up going to the general election. And by the time you get there, there's no difference. I mean, look at us in Bucks County. You have Brian Fitzpatrick, who's got a 30% score with the conservative review that came out this week. He's no different than a Democrat. We're going to have no different results with him in there than we are with it. Yeah. That we're going to have with anybody else in there. And it's because indeed, they get the money from the party and they get this endorsement. And, you know, people like myself or Alex Anthony or Dean Malik a few years ago, we get boxed out and we get smeared and we get lied about by the party bosses so that they can just keep on with their candidate selection scheme. And that's what it is. It's a candidate selection scheme that they're running.
I guess I was one of those few that ran without the party's endorsement and still won.
Yeah,
well, I ran only because I was out there talking to the people. I was out there knocking on doors. I mean, look what Doug has done. He didn't have the party's endorsement at all going into the primary, but he had the roots on the ground. And
right, but if the party had made an endorsement of somebody else, his road would have been a lot harder.
They were endorsing other people against him. They were trying, in a lot of the different counties, they were trying to take him down. But because he had a
grassroots opposition to the state committee. Yeah.
Correct.
The state committee voted to not endorse. And you had people
Correct.
Like Pat Poprick up there sponsoring motions and creating these
other
endorsements.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
candidates.
You could actually do this. What it is it's, yes, that's a part of it. Like, getting a hold of these committee seats, yes, that's a part of the whole thing.
Yes.
But that's only a part of
sure.
it. There is a bigger picture here where you need to have people not only holding those committee seats. I have been in front of the school boards. I have been in front of councils. I myself was a mayor for 12 years, and that's where I ran without any endorsement my first go around. They said a woman in that position, not too sure on that. Ran for school board for the first time, didn't have the party's endorsement. And I still got out there, talked to people, told them what I was passionate about. That's what we need to have, too. It's not just holding committee seats. It's also getting the right people in these positions yeah. and teaching them how to run these campaigns and how to get out there and talk to people.
Yeah.
I mean, Doug has shown them just by the petition signing, 29,000 signatures in petitions for the primary to get on the ballot.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's impressive.
That
yeah.
was unheard of before. You would have never heard of that before.
Yeah.
It's a grassroots campaign. It's people talking to people and getting them riled up enough and having all these separate different groups, bringing them all together and having them work together, I think is a better way. And I think that's what Doug is doing also, where he's bringing all these groups together at the table, even though they keep saying he's very divisive and, you know, people aren't going to support. But you're watching him bring a lot of different groups to the table. And they're finally realizing that they are all on the same page.
Yeah. And it's what's very obvious about this is that it's incumbent upon us, we the people, the grassroots people, to get out there and knock on doors and to be the advocates, because it's yet to be seen, but the clock is ticking right now and I don't see much of it. What is the Republican establishment going to do to help Doug? We've seen them, the Republican come out this week.
Luck.
They've come out with this carpetbagger, dirtbag, Jim Greenwood, who's gone through his entire life making a living off of his political congressional
it's
run.
It's the same group that backed Biden, and look what we
yeah,
have now.
The pedophile
How
enablers from
they,
the Lincoln
yes.
Project. Right.
We
so
have
these
Nancy
grifters and pedophile enablers.
I'm going to add somebody else to our conversation. We have Nancy Price on the line. Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Doing good. So you were on our conversation last week, too. So what do you want to add to the conversation today?
Well, just with you talking about people getting involved, I looked at the ballot on May 4th after hearing Roe versus Wade, the leak about it likely being overturned, to see if I could support my pro-life whoever was running for state rep, and no one was running. So I did a write-in. I'm on the ballot, and I'm agreeing with you about most of what you're saying. I have one piece of good news. We talked last week about the Pennsylvania corporate tax being at 9.99%. It hadn't, the last time, in 1995, it was decreased from 11.5 to 9.99. And then last Friday night, they did vote in the House to decrease it again by 1%, which is a huge victory because it has not been decreased since 1995. So I just wanted to add that bit of good news, which I was advocating last week.
Excellent. That is good news. Yeah, a lot of businesses. But, you know, 1%, what does that do for small business right now with the economy and the policies that are in place by both Wolf and Biden? You know, our economy is being killed. And Pennsylvania, I was listening to a conversation this past week about the oil companies, one of their conglomerates that they all got together. And they said, "Why, you know, like Biden's across the ocean knocking on other countries' doors. Why isn't he knocking on Pennsylvania's door? Why isn't he knocking on?" And then they listed four other states. And why isn't he knocking on these doors? Like, we can provide for our own people. I mean, he gave a million of our gallons away.
I can answer that question for you. And it lies in Rick Wilson from the Lincoln Project is the perfect example. If you listen to what they – I'll give you a ton of examples. Ari Fleischer, MSNBC, Rick Wilson, Lincoln Project. You listen to any of these people talk, and all they talk about is destroying. Destroying Christianity, destroying white people, destroying the economy. They brought us Biden, a destitute – an election system that rivals Nigeria. It's amazing at how quickly they've been able to destroy this country. So everything they do is working in that direction. So for Biden, he was clear about this. He was paid to do it, to destroy the American fossil fuel industry. So, of course, he's going to go to Saudi Arabia. Absolutely wants to do everything in his power to take down big oil in this country. And they're unapologetic about it.
Yeah, well, these people are intent upon the destruction of America. It's quite obvious what they're doing, and this is why we can't, dither away anymore with our own party. This is why we see the ascendancy of the America First movement and the Rhino establishment pulling all kinds of dirty tricks and shenanigans. They fight harder against us than they do against the Democrats. And so this is why the GOP needs a purging. It needs a renaissance. And we're working in Bucks County to do that. And we I know that I've been approached by people from Montco and other areas about the precinct project and running it in other areas. We have just launched a digital infrastructure upgrade project with Right for Bucks, which is going to allow us to, on the cloud, hold all of our data and information and organize it and be more effective in communications. This is what we all need to be doing, and we'll share this model and information with any other Patriot groups that want to do the same things in other counties that we're doing in Bucks County with Right for Bucks. And if you want to learn a little bit more about what we're doing or plug in or maybe listen to some of our nifty rock and roll political parody tunes, you can go to our website at rightforbucks.com and have some fun. Maybe come out and see the Right for Bucks band perform out there. We're out there.
Do you play the harmonica in that too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've got a rock and roll band, and we take all of the classic rock tunes that you know and love, and we change all the lyrics to them. We've got a new one that's going to be released soon. It's based on the old Dobie Gray song, Drift Away. Can you guess what it might be? And so we are in the middle of recording Grift Away right now. And, of course, it features Hunter Biden and Joe prominently. So we're going to have some fun with that, too.
Rightforbucks.com, you said.
Rightforbucks.com. That's correct.
I'm going to check it out. I got to step off, but Nancy Price, you got my vote. We're going to do everything we can to support you, and happy to see that you guys in Bucks County would be anxious to catch up with you some more.
Great. Absolutely. I'd like to hear from Nancy. Nancy, which area are you in, and what is your race? Tell us a little bit about your race.
I'm in Upper Marion, Lower Marion, Bridgeport, and West Conshohocken. Okay. And Tim Briggs is my opponent. I also, last Friday, they also passed the first step to amending the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
declaring that there is no right to an abortion in Pennsylvania. They passed that ahead of the recess so that the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania could not make any changes to abortion in Pennsylvania during the recess.
Good.
And they need to pass that same language again in their next session, and then that will go to the voters.
And because the language is the same both in the House and the Senate, it has the ability to be an amendment. And if they both pass again during the next session, it then becomes an amendment to our Constitution.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment on this with regard to this issue. You know, there, I heard in the last hour, Doug, you know, talk about him being called a radical and an extremist. What's really radical and extreme is thinking that it's okay for these people to be able to do abortions up until and after a baby is born. It's absolutely despicable, horrific, and you know, just it's a monstrosity to think that this living human being inside of somebody is able to be ripped out so close to, you know, they want taxpayer funded abortions on demand up until the date. And they're not going to be, you know, these radicals with the Kool-Aid in their hair and the rainbow flags are not going to settle for anything less. So it's great that this has been put back to the states. That's the constitutional way to do it. And we hope that the Republicans and the Democrats in Pennsylvania will come up with a solution to it that is allows women in trouble with certain situations to deal with it. But these late term abortions and anything really, you know, past the heartbeat, really, in my mind, is something that we just, you know, what kind of a society do we want to be?
And like we were talking before, distractions, this whole abortion issue is basically a distraction for the elections. And I'm with what is going on in people's homes. They think that people are not going to come out and vote because of over this issue, or they're going to come out and vote over this issue. But I think what they're actually going to come out and vote for is about the economy. It's about the gas prices. It's about the way that the education is being handled
vaccine
in our
mandates.
Schools.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they're signaling this now that, oh, we're going to have a resurgence coming. You know, they're foreshadowing it. They're, you know, they're signaling that they're going to, you know, pull the COVID card on us again for November. And really, you know, the Republicans really need to be woken up to this and not let any of these games get played again with regards to changing the rules to the elections to make room for, you know, COVID and more mail-in ballots and drop boxes and all the other shenanigans that they're pulling.
Nancy, so what are you hearing at the doors as you're out there doing doors?
A lot about the schools. People are very upset about the propaganda being taught to their children instead of reading, writing, arithmetic. And then we see the result of that when the United States is now 38th in the world in education. And also, I suppose that's the lack of critical thinking, where people can just say, like, there was also a vote about about introducing voter ID to the voters, letting them decide whether we're going to bring our ID. And my opponent is saying that the Republicans are trying to compromise our elections by disenfranchising voters via ID laws. I mean, just
don't we need ID to drive?
It's like 70% or 80% of people think that voter ID should be a thing. I mean, it's
exactly. And it's illogical to think that we're compromising the election by requiring ID.
And don't we all have to have real ID by the end of 2023 or 2024? Isn't that one of the requirements?
Yes.
So that means everybody in PA has to have that to start with, right?
Yep.
Right, exactly. Huh. Exactly. And then it's the same thing with the abortion. They're always saying it's the woman's body. It's not the woman's body that ends up in the dumpster. We're talking about the baby's body here. But that it's just a logical – they're able to just speak illogically.
Well, don't you find it funny, like, when they're talking about the abortion issue, there is such a thing as women and men, and yet when it's talking about bathrooms in the children's schools, there is no men's room or women's room.
birthing persons, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So sad.
It is very sad in our world today.
Yeah.
But Nancy, thank you for being on. Can you give your website and how people can reach out to you and let us know where you're going to be knocking on doors this weekend?
I will be knocking on doors in Bridgeport, and my website is nancypa.com. Very easy. And you can email me there at nancy@nancypa.com.
That is awesome. Do you
anyone who is interested in getting involved, we do need help everywhere. So,
you need volunteers to help with signs. You need volunteers to help knock on doors, answer phone calls, do phone calls. Yeah. What else do you need them for?
I think especially on election day, just for the whole party, we need people at the polls.
And working the polls just for Nancy Price. That's what you need people for. So if anybody's interested in helping Nancy out in any way, Nancy, give that website again, please.
NancyPA.com.
Excellent. So, Andy.
Have a great week.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying have a great weekend. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Nancy. Have a good weekend. All right, Andy, what do you want to close us with?
Well, I think that one of the themes that has come out of all this today is that people need to get involved. People need to step up. We need people running for offices. We need people running for committee positions. We need them running for the school board, the local state reps. So we need people out there thinking about that. If you're in Bucks County and you'd like to get involved, you can get us on the web at writeforbucks.com. And if you'd like some help in Montgomery County or other counties in what we're doing in Bucks with the Precinct Project, you know, feel free to contact me. You can get to me through the website or email at support@writeforbucks.com.
If not, he's got some great videos on there. You got to listen to those videos. All right, everybody. You have a great weekend and a great week, and we'll catch you very soon.